Okay. On page Samach Aleph. So the Maharal was explaining, how the fact that a person's life is cut short for whatever reason does not mean that he has no access to that place, to that level that's called Shleimus. That's what we were talking about. It was last week's piece that we did was more like the entire thing was like sort of in brackets. It was just altit that we shouldn't make a mistake to think. Now he returns to the subject of the inyan of one's life being devoted to bringing his kaiches out elapoyel, to realizing his kaiches. So we're on page Samach Aleph. V'zbor lecha ki ma'ilas ha'odem shu b'koyach k'moishi yizbor ha'achazah. Remember I told you at the very beginning, and those who have learned Maral Svarim know that, as I said, Maral will seem sometimes to chazah to review certain things. And one shouldn't get frustrated. We'll go quickly, even though I believe that there are things we just don't chap. But it sounds often like it's repetitious. V'zbor lecha ki ma'ilas ha'odem shu b'koyach k'mesh yizbor achazah lefichach lo yiyo aino b'nafshay. Don't deceive yourself. Lo yimash yeshev batel v'yatzliach batzlocha nitzchis. Don't think that because he's repeating what he said last, what we learned before, that one should not fool oneself to think that he can sit and be a bottle and he doesn't have to work on himself because of all this godliness and all this shlemus and all these wonderful things that are rolling around inside of him, inside of a Jew, that therefore he's able to sit and to assume that things are going to happen. Man, as we learned, was made incomplete, even though he is muchan el shlemus. That's what the moral was explaining. He has a hachone el shlemus. He's predisposed towards perfection. He's inclined towards perfection, but it's only with Torah mitzvahs that he could actually perfect himself. So, ulahayres ki ha'adam chaser. He says, now we have to understand more the nature of man's chesaron. What is missing? What does this mean? The tzarech elof hashlama that requires perfection. Lakach amu v'perek chelik, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, adam la'omal yulad, man was created, Eev says, to work, to struggle. Am Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara doesn't, the Pasuk rather, does not identify what type of amelus, what is the domain of man's struggle. What does it mean? With what? What is he? What does it mean? What does that mean that he has to work hard? In what area does he have to work hard? So, Rabbi Eliezer, any day, does that mean that he has to work hard in terms of speaking and verbalizing thoughts or feelings, amal per? Or does it mean amal malacha poshet? Does it mean that he has to work amal malacha, that he has to physical labor, that he has to work hard? So the Gemara continues, kishu aimer, but it says in pasuk, nefesh amal amlulai ki akaf alav pihu, which literally means that the hunger of the laborer labors for him, for his mouth presses upon him. His mouth presses upon him. It's a difficult pasuk. The hunger of the laborer labors for him. In other words, that is what's compelling him to work. The hunger of the labor, the best motivation is the fact that the laborer is hungry, and he knows that only through his hunger can he succeed. Through his labor can he succeed in satisfying his hunger. And then the pasuk ends, for his mouth presses upon him. This alludes to the fact that the amelus of a human being is with his mouth. How this Gemara is to be understood and what it means on a deeper level, it's kedai, if you look in Preet Tzadik, if we had time, if we would have this, we'd be able to learn every day and in a regular way, in Bes Medrash, in Yeshiva, whatever, we would learn the piece from Reb Tzadik. You know, there's a kuntzus from Reb Tzadik that's printed in Breishis, in Preet Tzadik Breishis at the beginning. It's called Kedusha Shabbos, and it's a haflatic thing. The Kedusha Shabbos of Reb Tzadik goes to the Indian of Shabbos, a whole mimer on Kedusha Shabbos. And in that mimer of Kedusha Shabbos, if you look there, you'll see that he explains Ba'arichas, this Gemara, and the deeper meaning of this pasuk and what it means, the amelus of the peh. And he talks more about tefillah and Torah. It's really remarkable. For our purposes here, in a simple way, what is the meaning of amal peh? when it says that the laborer's mouth presses upon him, the laborer's mouth is pressing upon him, what is this? What is the laborer's mouth? What does that mean? V'adayin en yadeya, so Gemara continues. So far it's omol pev. En yadeya, imla omol... Yeah. En yadeya, adayin en yadeya, imla omol tayre, imla omol sicha. So we've come, Rabbi Loza says, we've come to the understanding that the arena of man's amelas, the domain of man's struggle, of man's work, is what? Is with his mouth. The shaila is, what does that mean, with the mouth? What type of amelas of the mouth? What is his mouth working at? Adayin any day, imla amal tayra. Does it mean that the mouth was created, that man was created essentially to engage in labor of the mouth, which means the study of Torah with the mouth? Imla amal sicha. Or does it mean stam sicha? Does it mean tishmuz, to talk? Kishuha, I mean, we don't even stand the havamina. What does that mean? What's amal sicha? That's why in the Kayin over there, in Kedusha Shabbos, amal sicha is tefillah. It's in this week's parasha. What's in this week's parasha? No. So, amal sicha doesn't mean that man was created to sit, you know, to was created to sit in the shvitz and to in the mikveh and to shmuz, right? It can't be the shmuz. It's tachlis to be sicha is tefila. So the big, this big, now it takes on a whole different meaning. Is the ikka tari tefila? That's an age old machlokes, and that's kolatar kula standing on that question of what's the tachlis? Is the ikka tari? Is the ikka tefila? The Derech Hagro, the Derech Habal Shem, and so on. All of that, all of these questions of what takes the highest priority. Is it Torah? Is it Tefillah? All right, but the moral doesn't go into the Inyan of Sicha as Tefillah. That's why I'm directing you to the Kedusha Shabbos of the Kohen. There you'll see a long discussion of the Inyan of Torah and Tefillah in the context of this Gemara. As Kishua Omer LaYomer Sefer HaTorah, I think it's in the second parak of the Kedusha Shabbos. So now we have the conclusion of the Gemara. It says that this Torah should not, says in Yeshua, that this Torah shall not leave your mouth. You shall utter the words of Torah day and night. So we see that the taklis of man's creation was to labor. And the Gemara identifies, after going through these odd havaminas, right? The tachlis of human being is amelus. What does it mean to work? Does it mean malacha? Does it mean with the body? Or does it mean blue collar or white collar? And then the conclusion is that zicha has to mean white collar. So then it's omol per. So what does it mean omol per? It's sicha, is it Torah? So the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's talking about Torah. Havi omol omol Torah ad kan. Ubiru bezeh hadvar meshar ma'anu. Let's understand this chazal. This we know, that man was not created in the state of his in the final state of his perfection. That's the amelus of his life, is to reach towards that perfection, that greatness. Vizeh, and that is the simple pshat, and Adam lo amal yulad, that man was created to work. Shehu noilad v'nimse al tachlis ha'amal, that one should not despair. That's why. That whole, I spoke about this in the Shmuz Rosh Hashanah time, I believe it was at that time, that this is a common mistake that people have. People believe, a typical yeshiva bacher, growing up with the pressure of being in yeshiva and being matzliach, so his understanding is that if I'm having a melchama, if I'm engaged in a struggle, in a war, in a battle, over my Yirat Shamayim, let's say, you know, and I have bad days. Said the wrong things, saw the wrong things. It's not going well. So he sees the fact that he has a milchama, the fact that he's in a battle. He sees this already as an indication that he's a loser. Because after reading every single biography of the Chavetz Chaim, of the Gra, and Rav Moshe, and then about the tzaddik and the Kedah, so he is convinced that all the truly great Jews never had a milchama. They didn't have a war. The Chavetz Chaim didn't have a war because you read the books, it says when he was 3 years old, he cleared away the snow. You know, every single story we ever heard. You know, the Gra made a Siman Shas, Davin Nezer was saying Bichas Anenin when he was being nursed, all the Maisalach, you know, which are true. But so he looks at himself and he sees that every single day is a struggle, and to him that's an indication that he's a lo yitzluch, that he's no good. And most of the kishloinus, most of the failures, and most and most of the disappointments that we have with ourselves and with our children is the result of this misconception that that if you're a tzaddik you don't have milchamas. The only thing is that the biographies do not know about the milchamas. We don't know what the Chavetz Chaim went through to become the Chavetz Chaim, and no one will ever know what he went through. And those who are familiar with the writings of Rabbi Nachman was one of the few tzaddikim who let us in a little bit on what the struggle was about. Generally, for instance, if you look at the writings of the Baal HaTanya, there's not one personal word in any of the writings of the Baal HaTanya. He's talking about Olamus. You're hoping he should talk about this world a little bit. The Tanya's talking about the Olamus and the Shtalshlus, and you have to figure out where you fit into the picture. And he talks about Avoida and Tanya. Of course he does. And Tesvav, Avoida. But autobiographical, you don't see what the Tzaddik went through. What do we know about the Gra? We can't understand one of his horrors on Shulchan Aruch. We understand what he went through to become the girl. We don't know that. So, Adam La Omal Yulad is that reminder that the fact that you're in a milchama is itself the tachlis of your life. Milchama is not a bedevid. Fighting the war is not bedevid. What could you do? You're already not. If a person sees himself as being in a bedevid situation, he becomes a bedevid type of a Jew. So, Mimela, if he misses a davening, if he doesn't chazer the Gemara, a stick of Lashon Hara, no. Because he sees himself as a bedavid in his whole life. When one understands that this world is Odom La'omel Yulad, means that fighting is lechatchila. That's the tachlis of your creation, is to fight. There's such a thing as tzaddikim gemurim, that at the end of their lives, David Amal said, Libi chalul bekirbi, that his heart was emptied out of the Yitzhar, the Gemara says, but we know David Amal didn't get to that place easily. We know, we don't understand David Amal, but we know from Tanakh that David Amal struggled. And the whole Sefer Tehillim is all the wars that are described in the Sefer Tehillim are be'ikar. We know we have a Kabbalah. It's not talking about Stam with the Plishtim. It's talking about with the little Plishti inside of himself. Right? Those are the Milchamas. That's what the Maral says. Shu noilid v'nimsel tachlis ha'omo. That's your job in this world. It's kafya. In the Lashon of Chabad, it's kafya of the Zohar. The way the Tanya applies that is hapcha chashuchel anahayrit. There is such a thing that someone transforms the darkness into light. It's a murdik madrega. Where that person doesn't have a Yitzhar anymore. They've already destroyed the Yitzhar. It's a Yitzhak Avinu. A person has destroyed this hapchaluch chashuchel in the to transform the darkness to light. Ruba the Ruba, that's not what we have in this world. It's his kafya, the Yitzhar delights. It's suppressing and fighting. It's a milchama. It's a constant wrestling match. Tahaymi lahayt says shleimus alapoyal. And that's man's responsibility to bring himself. To bring the shleimus out of liyagilias nimtzah b'poyel agamri la'olam, and you shouldn't think that you're ever going to reach a state where, in this world, you can never reach a state where you are completely b'poyel, where you've perfected yourself. Even those tzaddikim like Yitzchak Avinu and David HaMelech, as long as they were connected to the physical body, it was impossible to reach that madrega of perfection. So man can never reach that ultimate goal.
Okay. Is it mashma that a person is created with a certain amount of shleimus? I don't know what that means, but it sounds from the
word. In other words, can he reach the different levels of shleimus that different people can reach? That's true, depending upon the shorish of the neshama. Yes, that is true. Even though in nigla of Torah it's not really discussed so clearly, and it would seem that everybody could be a Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see in the lashon of the Rambam, or to be a shleim hamelach. But in the pnimius of Torah we understand that there are different dargas of neshama. But the only expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is that you tend to your shleimus, that you work on your shleimus. Therefore, there's a tvi on a person that if he's trying to be mashlim something that's not his inyan, that's not his shleimus in this world. That's why one has to be very careful in inyanim of ruchnius, not to imitate, not to copy, but to understand to try to understand what is it that you could be mashlim, what is it that you could do. The whole idea that's happened in recent years, that wholesale, that every single person's shleimus can only be found, let's say, this shleimus can only be found if he stays in yeshiva for the next 20 years. There was never such a thing in Klai Yisrael. That's a chiddush, to say that this, everybody agrees that Torah is the best of Schayr, and everybody knows that Torah halavai. But there are different shorshei ha-neshamas, and this neshama could come from the world of Gemilas Chasadim. this can come from the world of Avodah. And not only can it be that the person thinks he's working towards Shleimus and he's not, but it could cause him to become emotionally ill. He could become emotionally ill if he wants somebody else's Shleimus. And it's not his only tears and nefesh. The same way that if you have a parent that forces you to go to med school and you'd rather be a mechanic, and you're good at being a mechanic, and this happens, and there was a friend of mine, like, I mean, so there was a fellow that we knew back in yeshiva that he had a mice like this, and he committed suicide. He committed suicide because there was such intense pressure, and he felt so suffocated by the impossibility of doing what he wanted to do in life and pursuing what he felt he was good at, and being placed into that environment that he felt he wasn't good at, and that he was forced to be good at because both of his parents were successful doctors, and they refused to acknowledge that he had it. Even in Gashmis we see this can cause terrible emotional sickness. Why else would a Jewish boy take his own life? He became never sick. Allah has come of a kama when it comes to Dvar Pnimim, when it comes Pnimim to who you are. and one doesn't recognize that a Jew has that this Jew has a different Netiyas HaNefesh. So to say wholesale, you know, in the Hasidic yeshivas to say that you're only a Yid if you're a Chassid, or in the Lifshitz yeshivas to say you're only a Yid if you go in this derech, and you ignore, in either way, you ignore that person's own Netiyas HaNefesh. There's a certain sensitive soul that needs this type. There's a certain type that needs more of a rational. And everybody has to find his place within the Mizgeres of Torah Mitzvahs. And not to recognize that is to bring terrible, terrible emotional sickness and to turn people off from Yiddishkeit. And a lot of what we're seeing nowadays is not because the boys are not good boys, Chalil. They're good boys. And if someone would recognize Chanach Lana Pidarkai, if someone would recognize this child's Netiyas HaNefesh and work with the child according to his Netiyas HaNefesh, not because I received this from my Rebbe and we have a Messiah like this, you know, it can only be this way. But instead to understand who's being the Kabbal and to pour what's necessary into that Kli. Every Jew is a Gevaldige Kli. Aval Talmud Ye'omer Lahaitzei Shleimus El Apayel. You see, Shleimusai El Apayel, not Shleimus. Shleimusai. That this is the Avodah of a Jew. To bring his own Shleimus El Apayel. To bring that into reality.
Why did the Maral immediately go out to say one of the Amelis, to say it's either exclusive this or that? Why couldn't a reading be that it's a combination of all of these?
The Gemara says that. That's not the Maral. The Gemara is saying, because the Gemara is talking about the ultimate tachlis. It's agreed that man has to work and man has to engage in sikha and so on. That's understood. But the question here is the ultimate one question of why were you created? That's what we're talking about. It's certainly clear that man's life cannot be simplified to such a degree. But
tefillah or learning. Why does that have to be inherent in the pasuk? Why could it not be a combination? I mean, he's going in this direction, and I just jumped ahead. I see he stays with it.
He stays with it because Chazal stay with it. But the reason is, you know, We grew up in a way where we think that, you know, the old joke, you're right, he's right, how can you both be right, you're also right. So this is the watering down of truth, and the results of this we're now feeling. This began in the 60s and the 70s, and we now feel the results of this, where every single shigayin, every craziness, every compromise, every bizarre mixture of every cholent of ideas is acceptable. and one cannot say that there is an ultimate purpose in Tachlis. Because to claim that there's an ultimate purpose in Tachlis is, in modern day America, not nice. Not nice. Because why? Because you are seen as somebody who's excluding those who are not claiming to be part of that Tachlis. The Gemara and the Maral are not playing that game. There is a tachlis, and we're trying to understand from Chazal the tachlis of being in this world. What is the amelis? Not to say that work is not acceptable, not to say that tefillah, whatever it is, but the ikar amelis of a Jew in this world, to bring himself to his shleimus, can only be through the study of Torah, regardless of what he does. And here is the loss of clarity. Even though I said before that you have to recognize maybe for this guy, he's in his gemilas chesed, so he needs to go to work. And that doesn't mean to say that his shleimus is going to be, God forbid, by thinking only of business and never and not learning and just opening up a Wall Street Journal and being shakur, being completely embedded in this world. That's not what it means, God forbid. Of course, even the business person, even all of you, or most of you, who are, there are some clay kardesh here, but most of you who are amelim in parnas every day, if someone would stop you and say, what's the tachas of your life? So you would say, the tachas of my life is the learning that I do in the morning and the learning that I do at night. So you say, what are you talking about? That's the tachas of your life? That's an hour and a half, 2 hours. You spend 12, 13 hours with on the phone, handling and this and that and business and deals and that. So that's it. But a person, you know that that's the tachlis of your life. And Chazal's not, they're not embarrassed about this, nor is the Maral. This is the tachlis. This is the tachlis. So the Maral says, that's what it means. The war is the tachlis. In this world. Ultimately, the war ends. But in this world, you shouldn't think that that's a b'deavid, that you're struggling. That's why you were created to struggle. Odom lo amal yulad. Veha amal hu ayitzia el apoil. And that's what amelus means. Amelus means, yitzia el apoil means this effort. This effort. He brings down a very interesting thing in the note. We don't have to read the whole note, but he brings that he heard from a certain Talmud Chacham that the word yegia, which means work, hard work, right? Yegia. That yegia is the lashon of lehagia. Isn't that nice? That what does that mean? It means that the ikka yegia of man's life is lehagia. That means to push himself towards his goal, to arrive. It means towards arriving. The yegia of a person is lehagia. That's the tachlis is not being there. The tachlis of life is getting there, going there. Striving. That's the tachlis, is going to that place. Getting to that place, that's what again, that's the Baruch Shalom's business. But going there, climbing there, that's the tachlis. That's the yegiyah is lahagiyah. The tamid hu b'koyach oid lotzei salapayil. Therefore, no matter what you've accomplished in this world, no matter how much yegiyah you've poured into this world, there's more work lahagiyah to strive towards greater Madragas. Ki zeha adam hu bekayach. V'yoytse el apayel. V'kamashu yoytse el apayel. And as much as man has brought out into his life, as much as he's accomplished, as much as he's realized in his avayda, nishar bekayach. He still remains in a state of potential. Lot says, oid el apayel tamid. To constantly bring more and more out. V'omar v'adayin eni yadeya im la'omol peh. Next page. La'omol malacha. So after the Gemara brings the pasuk Adam la'omol yulad, which means to be mashlim himself, this yegia, this struggle. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Does it mean? What does it mean? Is it talking about amelus? Is it talking about amelus of the mouth? Meaning the mouth means intellectual, emotional amelus. Does it mean physical amol malacha? Or does it mean that man was created to work? Okay, so even though we've already established that Adam la Amal Yulad, that means that what? That you have, that this world is a world of constantly striving for greater levels, constantly working. Ulai could be, HaKoyach HaZeh Hu Shayach LaKoyach HaGufani. Maybe it means for Hatzlacha in this world. Maybe it means to see Hatzlacha in this world. Shein Sofik Shehu B'Koyach V'yesh B'Yitzi El HaPoel. 99.9% of the world believes this. 99.9% of the world believes this. I was on a rare occasion. I mean, I hardly ever speak to anybody that's not Jewish. I just, in my business, we don't come across it too often. So, but I had a meisah that I was sitting in a cab. I was told he was a very nice fella. So he wanted to talk about the tachlis of life. He sees, I guess he figured he got himself a rabbi. So he wanted to talk about the tachlis of life. I'm not particularly excited to discuss that with him, but okay, he's a mamon. He wants to. It's a chash of a thing. A person's thinking. So I asked him, "What do you feel is the is the purpose of being in the world. So he said to be happy and to cause others to be happy, to be able to be accomplished and successful, and to use your accomplishments and your success to help others be happy. That's probably the most noble approach of the secular world. If he would have just said to be happy himself, then I wouldn't have enjoyed the conversation. But the fact that he already said, and to cause others to be happy, I mean, he recognized to earn, to try to work himself, to work until he's able to earn more money, to be able to be himself happy, and to cause others to be happy, there's already something noble about the person. Apoponim, is that Yiddishkeit? That's not. It's a more sophisticated interpretation of Omer Malacha. Because certainly the Maharal is not talking about Stam, but someone thinks that he lives in this world to work on the railroad or something, or to sit around the... Anybody has a Havimina that is, he was created in this world, he was created to sit and to fill out papers or forms or to write legal briefs or something, or to Chreis was. I mean, this is the Tachlis of being in this world? Can't be. So certainly there is this Havamina in the world at large, which is the popular view, hoping that this fellow in the cab is already a nice guy. So this idea that my amelus in this world is that I could have something to give to my kids and to give to other people to make them happy, that's generally the opinion of what the tachlis is of being in this world. One could recognize one's potential. At work, they'll say, you know, they'll come over and say, Bob, you're right now, you're earning right now, Bob, $75,000. That's a shame, because Bob, you have the potential to earn $250,000. You're not realizing your potential. This is to motivate people, right? So you have that potential. Avol koyach hadabri shu yoyse nivdo. So the Gemara then says, well, from the pasuk, from the pasuk that seems to indicate that amelus is the amelus of the mouth. So the koyach hadibur, man's ability to speak, places him above all other animals, all other creation. Ki im ba'adam lekach hakoyach hazeh hu yoyse nivdal. By a human being, the koyach hadibur, the ability to speak, which we'll learn, we'll understand on a deeper level, which the Maharal talks about in Gevuras Hashem, when the Maharal discusses Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to speak, which is one of the mysteries of Torah, that the one who received the Torah and who taught Torah wasn't able to speak until Eilat Dvarim, Chazal say, that Ashadiba Moshe, the Moshe was healed by Maimon HaSinai. In other words, most of us begin to speak by saying, give me, or more. Right? Most of us begin by speaking about Gashmius. Mommy, daddy, which means the same thing, give me and more. So mommy, daddy is the one that can give me more. But that's all it means. Moshe Rabbeinu's Koyach HaDibur only began with what? Anoich HaShem Elokecha. That's how those were his first words. Anoich HaShem Elokecha. The koyach hadibur is that part of man that stands between the body and the soul. That's why the lips, the svasayim, the lips as the makib patish, the final blow of the hammer before a person comes into this world, where the malachal gives a clap on the mouth, right? As the Gemara says in Nida, that makib patish, that final clap of the mouth, means that now at this point man is going to now move from being a completely spiritual entity to being part of this physical world. Therefore the word svasayim, which means lips, is from the word svasayam, which means what? The shores, the beach, the shore. the two worlds, you know, the two that separates, that border between those two dimensions of inside and outside. Those are the svasayim, those are the lips. The koyach hadibur is not completely physical, but it's not completely spiritual. It's standing between those two worlds, the koyach hadibur, right? Look at footnote 41 to understand what is the meaning of omal peh. And the Gemara says, yes, man was created to work with his mouth. But then the shaila was, what type of work with the mouth? Is it sicha or is it tyra? That we didn't get to yet. Well, the Gemara is going to talk more about that. But let's see footnote 41. He says, Dvarav Khan, Yuvnu al Pimasha Kosa Bederchayim, Perg Beis Mishneches, Vezelishim. This is the Gemara says in Derchayim and others. Vishloisha Dvarim Yesh Ba'adim. There are three domains within man. Ki ha'adim yesh by nefesh. Man has a living soul, a nefesh, but the nefesh here means, the word nefesh means that which provides him with that koach that's called life. It means physiological existence, his physical existence, the nefesh. Like all other animals, something that enlivens the person. V'yesh by nefesh ha'medaberes, but in addition to that, man has a higher level of spirituality that's called nefesh medaberes, that he's able to communicate, he's able to speak. In the terminology of Chassidus, that's called ruach, right? Ruach, nefesh, ruach, neshama, right? Naran. Nefesh means that part, that quality of spirituality that just enlivens you. It means just what gives you life. Above that, the koach hadibur, the ability to communicate, to speak, comes with what the Maral calls nefesh hamedaberes, but in the terminology of the Ari HaKadosh and Chassidus, that's called ruach, ruach piv, uberuach piv kol tzeva, with the breath of his mouth Hashem created. So the ability to speak, that man is a ruach mimalala. Targum translates when it says in Pasuk nefesh chaya, as the pasuk nishmas chayim, v'yipach b'avad nishmas chayim, that Hashem breathed into man a living soul, and man became a nefesh chayim. So the Targum translates nefesh mamala means he has the ability to speak. This ability to speak comes from the ruach, which the Maral calls nefesh hamedaberes. Noisav al shabel chayim, which animals don't have. Shein lam nefesh hamedaberes. V'yesh oid l'adam seichel nivdal min haguf l'gamrei, that which is completely spiritual, that we call neshama, right? So these are the three domains, the three spiritual levels within man. The most basic, which just gives life, that's called the nefesh. That which is the koach hadibur, which is in between being simply a physical being like an animal and being a ruchnisdika creature like a human being. That's the koach hadibur. That's the nefesh hamidaberes. That's ruach. And the highest level of human being is neshama. Within neshama, this chayyeh, he doesn't go to that. But that neshama means that part of man that is entirely spiritual. So the Maral there in Derech Chaim explains that man was created to work, not to rest, not to pause, to stop. He has to constantly strive, as we've been learning, without stopping, without resting. Shekach roi mitzad teva habriya. This is roi. This is the way it should be from the nature of his creation. Shekol ha-nivroim nivru shiyu b'shleimus. Everything was created that it should be in a state of shleimus. It should be perfected. V'lo yiyu chaser. And they shouldn't be missing anything. All of creation is doing that. That's all the flowers, all the animals, all the fish. Everything is struggling to be mashlim itself, except that hashlama comes by getting another fish. The hashlama comes by catching a ray of sunlight, whatever. But it wants its hashlama. All of creation is moving towards its hashlama. V'ha'odim hazeh, and that certainly is very tragic, that man often finds himself alone as not seeking hashlama. Or he's seeking hashlama, but he thinks his hashlama is. So he thinks his hashlama is to be happy. That's the other mashalim, is the happy person. Or he thinks that the hashlam is to be their president. Whatever he thinks his hashlam is. Le'nivra ba'hashlam, ve'nimsa ha'adam ba'hashlam. Man was not created perfect, and he never will achieve perfection in this physical world. V'zehu shleimuso ba'atzmo. That is his shleimus. You see, here he says it more befeirish. What is man's shleimus? Shu misno eya el ha'poil. Moving towards that, right? That's why the Maral explains Chazam is such a big deal about running to shul. By running to shul. And how you find it. There's even a mailer to being further away and to walk to shul chveis. It's not. Is it the biggest milah to be next door? Not. It's not so clear in Chazal that it's the biggest milah to have a shul next door. There's just like every single step that you take when you're going aliyah l'regel, when you're going to Beis Hamikdash, to bring korbanos, to bring for the shalosh regalim, every step along the way. So too, every single step towards shul, that means that the person's misno ea el ashlemas, that a person is moving towards that place of perfection. So now the morale in Der Chaim is explaining, what does the Hava mean of the Gemara to say that you were created to work? What are you, a behemah? What means you were created to work? A malacha? That's the tachlis malacha? So the morale is explaining, malacha doesn't mean that malacha means the taxi driver. That he sees that the tachlis of his life is what? Is to be mashlim himself in a way that he understands will bring him happiness, the same way that you see the look of contentment upon the face of a lion after he had his afternoon snack. So that's the same contentment on the guy that just closed the big deal. On his face, he closed the big deal. He has the same look of contentment. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that there's a havamina, that there's omel malacha. No, but the havamina might be that the purpose of my being in this world is to reach ultimate success and happiness. It could be that you think that your tachlis is to perfect yourself. All God expects of you is to perfect yourself in terms of that lowest level of nefesh, which means what? That I was a good guy. I made myself happy. I made other people happy. I didn't hurt anybody. Right? I didn't hurt anybody. Look at the emphasis that people have now on their physical health. And I don't think there was ever such. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm jealous of the people that are working out and that they're. But it became a goal in of itself. You see, that to have hashlama in the physical world, the obsession with beauty, the obsession with having a certain type of a figure or physical appearance. This is the modern interpretation of amal malacha. That meaning that on the most basic physical level that I should be successful. So for one person, success means owning the largest mansion in the world. Another person's success is having the trimmest and fittest body in the world. All of this is part of that world that's called amal malacha. The next level of man is dibur. Back upstairs, he says, "Ve'efshaki dai hu sheyotzi min ha'karech el ha'parla karech ha'gufani." That's the most basic level. That all I have to accomplish. Is it? Can I have a drink if you don't mind? Doesn't make this fun. Whatever. Finish it away. It could be that the person thinks that it's enough if he perfects himself. If he perfects himself in this world, in the physical world, and he's happy. Ve'insarach lahitzi karech ha'dabri el ha'parla. He doesn't have to bring out that second level, which is called ruach, which means what? It doesn't mean stam conversation, because conversation is also if all you're talking about is food and work. So then your conversation is just another physical aspect of your life. It's just you're using a more spiritual vehicle towards discussing physical things, right? But there's a higher level. There are people who sit and let's say I think I spend, I'm sure many of you could identify with this, and I remember when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, sitting around talking. Now kids don't do that much. Now they get straight to the Gashmis. But we used to talk about Ruchnis a lot. We used to talk about the war, and about this, and about that, and about our ideas of life, and v'chula, v'chula, v'chula. Talking and talking and talking. Where one invests some spiritual energy, but he's not getting to the zach. He's not getting to the point. It's not getting to the point. So this is already a more sophisticated member of mankind. This is a more, so that would have been the taxi driver, might have been a different fellow. Maybe he would have been a professor of some sort. There would have been an intelligentsia that would have said that the tachlis is to finish every single book that was ever on the New York Times bestseller list. So you would say, that's a chashuv mensch. This guy, And then if he'd be a serious professor, then he would make fun of the bestseller list, and he would say it's an academia. And his thing is to finish certain, is to accomplish and to read certain things and to write certain things. This is also a havamina that man's amelus, the man's amelus be in the domain of accomplishment in that world that's called, in that world that is one notch above pure physical life, more of an intelligent, the world, academics, intelligence, and so on. Perhaps this is, the Gemara is not saying that this might be the tachlis of life. The Gemara is, like the Maral is showing us, the Gemara is going through, as we'll often do, to show how the Havamina is meaningless. Even though most of the world has these Havaminas. We have to understand that these are the Havaminas of the world. The Gemara is not stopping to say, hey, maybe that's what Eov meant when he said, Odom lo mayulad. Maybe he meant that. That's not what this Havamina means. The Gemara is telling, this is what the typical person of this world thinks, and why it's not true. Why Amelus is Bepeh, and Amelus is Betoira. Val Zomar, Kaven Dixiv, Nefesh Omol, Omlolai, Kiak, Okioka Falaif, Olof Pihu, Hare Ki Omol Hazehu Omol Peh. So the Pasuk identifies that the main Amelus of human being is with his mouth. It's already a higher level. So now we've reached this level that the tachlis of being here certainly is not to perfect yourself physically, but somehow with the koyach hadibur, which is a higher level of ruach, which is using your emotions, using your intellect, and so on. So then what does it mean with the mouth? What kind of a melus? Does it mean talking? Or does it mean learning? Ki ulai loit sarach sheyoytzi min ha-karach ha-lapol ra-karach ha-dabri. She'en ha-seichel gamur. Maybe all you could be expected to accomplish in this world at best is to perfect that part of you that stands between the purely spiritual and the purely physical. To connect to the deepest part and the deepest... To connect to the deepest part of who you are, that's called the neshama, that's beyond what you can accomplish. But what you can accomplish in this world is to sort of hover between the body and the soul. That's what you can accomplish in this world. That's the Havamina. Look at footnote 44. Also, but derech high. Ken nefesham deberes. That quality that's called ruach, that gives man the ability to communicate, to speak. Eino seichel nivdal. It's not purely spiritual. Higam l'tinok yesh lo seichel zeh. Even a little child who doesn't know anything, a little kid. I mean, he starts to talk. He's able to start to say things, mommy, daddy, whatever. He's able to talk. The kid obviously doesn't know anything. The kid doesn't understand anything, but he's able to say something, right? After the brackets, we don't need to go into that. We'll add a few lines. But Derechaim, yeah. Because of Kiadibu or Nefesh Medeberes, or Shanefesh Medeberes, or Kerech Kufani, Shadibur Kerech Kufani, Ve'eno Sichli Legamre. Speech is not completely spiritual. It's still connected to the physical world. Ibn Nasiva Shtika, Reish Prakalath, Nefesh Medeberes, Yeshlo Chibur Vetsiruf Elachoim, Ve'eno Div Legamre. That speaking has a Tsiruf, has that, as I said before, it's in between those two realms of the spiritual and the physical. That's why it's truly amazing that Moshe Rabbeinu's first words were spiritual. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't talk. Whatever, he was stammering, because he didn't have the Koach HaDibur. When Moshe Rabbeinu's Dibur, the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu had to say was Anoich HaShem Alokecha. It's the first thing he had to say, Anoich HaShem Alokecha. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Mekabel HaTorah, in whose life the Shechina was Medaberes Mitarch Koroina, that Hashem spoke through him, that his Kerech HaDibur came from the Neshama in such a way that he couldn't speak about things of this world. He couldn't talk about things in this world. You remember the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that if I would have been by Maimon Har Sinai, I would have created a human being, that a Jew should have two mouths. One to speak Divrei Torah and one to speak Divrei Chol. Right? What does that mean? that means that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was saying that the tragedy is that we have this intermediary koach that's called Dibur, that has spiritual qualities and physical qualities, and we become so confused, like everything else in our lives, instead of clarifying this, we eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and our speech is a little bit like this, a little bit like that. We say some things that are real, and other things that are silly. Because that's the Kach HaDibur. That's why the biggest struggle in Bechira Chavshis is when it comes to speech. Isn't that true? It says in Pasuk, Chaim V'Amavis B'Yad HaLoshen. I don't remember the exact Pasuk. Chaim V'Amavis B'Yad HaLoshen. In other words, where are you most tested in your free choice? With what you say, not with what you do. You have people that they do great stuff, that they're really nice people, that do great things. But when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's much harder. When it comes to having perfect Dibur, it's much harder. Because since that's the Tzuras Adam, that he's a Medaber. In other words, it defines a human being. What's a human being? A human being is a physical creature that has spiritual kaiches within him. That formula creates the Koach HaDibur. An animal doesn't have this problem. He's not a Medaber. A rock, it's not a Medaber. But a human being's most profound Bechira is going to take place in the realm of speech. Because he is a Medaber. Because he is this being that's caught between heaven and earth. He's in that place between heaven and earth. And being between heaven and earth means that man is a Baal Bechira. And that's the Koach HaDibur, which is between, that Dibur means between heaven and earth. One part of his body was a Malach, the other part of his body was human. Whatever these Lashonis mean, it's interesting, if you look there in the introduction to the Meshech Chachma and Sefer Shmais, he talks about this. That Moshe Rabbeinu was not like the rest of us. There was something different about Moshe Rabbeinu. Whereas you and I begin saying mommy and daddy, and give me and take, and all of this, Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Torah because the Yetzirah, the Iker of Moshe Rabbeinu was not this Bechira. The Iker of Moshe Rabbeinu's Metzius was to reveal the Devar Hashem. To reveal the Devar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shofar, and Hashem blew through that shofar called Moshe Rabbeinu. But this is something that is discussed much more in Gevurah Hashem when he discusses the inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to speak. Avaloi kayach hasichli, shehu dibur shel Torah. But there is an area of speech that is different. That's when one speaks words of Torah. Dibur shel Torah is different. Vizel seichel gomer. That's completely neshamadik. Words of Torah is even if you're learning a sugya in Shnayim Achzon, or you're learning a Gemara in Nazir and Saita, when you're saying words of Torah, that's Seichel Gomer. When you're thinking and expressing thoughts of Torah, that's Seichel Gomer. K'shu'aymer l'yom is Sefer Torah zemi picha. So now we've come to the conclusion. Yizeh nilmoid ki ha'odom al zeh nivra. This is why man was created. Al zeh nivra. Sheyoytzi el apoyel kerech hadabri, hasichli. Not stam to talk, but that your talk should be that type of talk that is sichli, that brings you to the hashlama that we're talking about, which is sechla Torah. L'fichach amar, lo yomu sefer Torah ze mipicha. That's the meaning of mipicha. Ki acha sheha odam shleimusa bekayach. Since man's shleimus is in this constant state of potential, tzarech sheyia kol amolay upa'olay b'davishu shleimusu ha'achrayim. In other words, man's shleimus is what? Is the seichel. Seichel means is neshama. That's man's shleimus. That's where he comes from, that's where he returns. Therefore, the same way that everything in this world is yearning to return to its place of origin, so too, the neshama of man must be in this constant state of yearning to return to its root and its source in godliness. Therefore, in this world, the Maral is saying, since the hashlama of man's perfection is in that area that's called the neshama, the seichel, therefore, constantly moving towards that goal means, in this world, engaging one's kaychas haguf, one's physical strength, and one's ability to speak and to communicate, engaging that in the world of Torah. That's the tachlis of being here. That's the hashlama. That's the process of perfecting oneself is in that area where your hashlama is to be found. Your hashlama is, you might be working 10 hours a day in some firm. You might be working 10 hours a day as an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever. But you understand that the few minutes that you are able to daven, the few minutes that you're able to learn, that those are the moments of moving towards your hashlama in the deepest way. Of course, you can work, you can make Kiddush Hashem, and all that other stuff. But the hashlama of diburim, of words of tefillah, of words of Torah, that's Adam la'amul yulad. K'mo yishomar kosev Adam la'amul yulad, sherei t'loyme ki tachlis malosu ha'el ha'amul. That's why you were created. Shu yitzi el ha'poil, to bring it out, to realize this potential. V'zeu lo yomush. Omnam al taimer ki mitzi yish shleimus ha'adam la'poil. Now you might begin to think that perhaps I am able in my life to finally reach home. I could in this physical world I could come and reach that level of hashlama, and then I'm free. That's not true. That's what we were talking about. The milchama, the war, is why you were created. Despite the fact that you're working very, very hard, you're a person of amelus. Nevertheless, there's always more that's bekayach. That's why you were created your entire life. Ki adam nivra la'amal. She'ein lo shvisa v'hashlama klal. Man does not have any shvisa. There is no rest. There is no pause. There's no stopping. And there's no hashlam in this world. Footnote 50. Der Chaim. Haysi b'zeh dvarim z'el d'shayin. This is the Maral says in Der Chaim. L'kach amar kishu oymer l'yom ha'sha Torah z'ayis mipicha. When he says the Torah should never leave your mouth, have you oymer l'amal Torah? He brings the Gemara. Ki dov z'ehu hashlam es adam ve'al zen nivra shiye amal. That's why you were created. U'mnei zeh amur perek Rabbi Akiva. Hakol ma'idim ki b'shabes nit netar li'yisrael. Listen to what a remarkable thing the Maral says. The Gemara says there, in Shabbos, that everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. That Ma'amad has seen it, Ma'amad Torah was on Shabbos. Akal Moedim give a Shabbos nit netar li'yisrael. B'loma nit netar b'Shabbos, no. So why is that the Torah was given tak on Shabbos? She'im nit netar b'chol. Because if the Torah had been given on a regular work day, she'im nit netar b'chol ha'ya ha'adam oimer, the same way that there's a pause, there's an end, there's a goal, there's a home plate when it comes to malacha during the week. Work during the week is finite. It's finite. It stops. It doesn't continue forever. You finish your job. You finish the job for the day. You're done. Kach yesh shvisa min haTorah. So if the Torah would have been given during the 6 days of the week, it would be considered by the person to be on that level of malach of this world, and in this world, all things come to an end. If it's part of the 6 days of this world. L'kach nitna Torah b'Shabbos. Therefore the Torah was given on Shabbos. Shu shvisa min ha-malacha. Shabbos means, shvisa min ha-malacha. Shabbos means you're right. Work has an end. Physical labor has an end. You're right, but ve'ena shvisa l'Torah, but Torah does not have an end. Va'ata yemei acholim kal v'chaim im haShabbos shem yemei shvisa min ha'malach. Now, if Shabbos, which is a day of resting from physical labor, ena yom shvisa min haTorah, it's even on that day of rest. No, Shabbos is a day of rest, so it's a day where you're supposed to stop. So you stop physical life, but you're not supposed to stop Torah. Other Rabbi, you're supposed to learn more Torah on Shabbos. Then a person understands. Then you might say, she'eni yimei shvisa min ha'malacha. The 6 days of the week, sheishes yom tasa malacha. The 6 days of the week, you're not supposed to stop working. You're supposed to work hard the 6 days of the week. So you might think like this. So this is what he says is the Kal V'chaimer. The Kal V'chaimer is like this. Madach Shabbos is a day of menucha. It's a day of stopping and resting, and afal pichin, you have to learn Shabbos. Torah doesn't stop on Shabbos. Alchas kama v'kama, the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week, where we understand they're not days of rest. Alchas kama v'kama, that from the tachlis of your life you can't rest. You certainly can't rest. So therefore, the Torah had to be given on Shabbos to indicate that there is no pause for man seeking perfection. Even on the day when we pause, even on the day when we stop, even on the day when we rest, that's only to be able to facilitate your hashlama. The Torah was given on Shabbos. So therefore, on the 6 days of the week, when I'm not allowed to stop, when I'm working, therefore certainly Ascham Vakam, I can't pause, I can't stop from that process of Hashlama. You could tell the difference. This is the difference between two types of Jews or Shomer Shabbos. You have a Jew whose Shabbos means I'm off. Therefore, I'm off, so I could finally get to that good book that I wanted to read. I could finish up that novel I wanted. Or I could compete in the sleeping marathon that I've always wanted to be in. Or, you know, whatever it is, but that's one person's Shabbos. Shema Shabbos Mechal Alay. He's not Mechal Shabbos, but this is his Shabbos. Then you have another person whose Shabbos means it's the time, Davke, when I'm able to be mashal myself and those things that I know are most important. So the Maral saying over here is that when Shabbos comes, one might have the notion that means that, oh, it's a time for rest. Shabbos is a day of rest, therefore I'm resting. And then you'll have people say, well, rest means for me. You know that sentence that how people begin? And you know the rest of the paragraph is going to be a killer. Well, to me, rest means family. Rest means, remember this is the arguments I used to have when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, going to the soccer match. Right? That's going to the beach. That's how I rest. So one might have this thought that since God gave us this wonderful day that's called Shabbos, when there's a shvisa, when you stop, so you might think, oh, this is a day when I don't have to struggle. The whole week I'm working. Shabbos I don't want to work. So the Torah was given on Shabbos to tell you, fakir. Shabbos is the day when you have a pause from the 6 days of working in that area that's called malacha and sicha. If you're a physical laborer, it's malacha. If you're more involved with more intellectual type of malacha, so then it's sicha. But Shabbos is when you stop that type of amelus, and Shabbos is a day of hashlama, of working towards one's potential in the greatest way. That's why the Torah was dafka given on Shabbos. That's how he explains this. You can't rest. Because if you would stop, that would mean that you're finished with what you're doing. That can't be. The Torah was given on the day of Shabbos to tell you you haven't even started. Therefore, one must constantly work. So you might think that Shabbos, you're off. In the Mishnah there, where Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh says that if you learned a lot of Torah, don't congratulate yourself. This is why you were created. This is why you were created. I have a very special student of mine who's a Stalin of Chassid. He lives in the next building to the Stalin of Rebbe. So he described to me The schedule on Shabbos. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And if you don't report on time, you're out. The Rebbe calls you in, once the Shabbos or Sunday, and it's not good to be reprimanded. And you shape up or ship out. You have an hour for lunch, and a half hour to rest, or 15 minutes or half hour to rest. Zehu. Even at night, exactly how long the tish is. Exactly, half hour tish. There's a few different tish, and you have to go. And then there's a Seder at night, Seder during the day, through the entire day. You tell us an American guy, you can't live like that. How could you even live like that? And the people are working all week, all types of people. How could you even live like that? It's a different Shabbos. It's a different hasag of what a Shabbos is. And Shabbos is davka, the day of Hashlama. That's why Shabbos is the day of Kavostar. I had a ride with, when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, some of the most enjoyable and inspiring experiences are talking to the taxi drivers. So lahavdol between the taxi driver here that I was talking about before and a yid. So I love talking to these guys. So he asked me, when am I going back? So I told him I have to go back. I have to go back by Thursday. So this is last year, 2 years ago. So he said to me, Tova, it's Lila Shabbat. He invites me for Shabbos. So I said, I have to go back Thursday. He says, why do you have to go back? So I tell him, I have a family, I have the shul. He goes, nah. So he says, Tov, what's Lee? You're invited to come to me Shabbat. So I have a little yarmulke. So I said, tell me, what is it that you want me to, what's your Shabbat so special? So this guy, this little Sfad Shayid, with a little kippah sruga, like this, he tells me, they come after lunch, and they stay till mincha, through the entire day, shiurim. The rovers, they have different rabbanim, all day long, every Shabbos of the year. I said, every single Shabbos. That's all they do, all day long, is learn. So I'm thinking, what am I, crazy? I can't, it's too much for me. This is the, and this guy, it's a guy, simple yid. He says, it's all day Shabbos learning. I said, when do you sleep? He says, oh, do you have a man, Lishon? He tells me, there's going to be a time that's going to come soon where I'm going to want to get up, but I won't be able to get up. He tells me, this is not for sleeping here. Can you imagine? He's sitting there, he's already up to his third shiur when we're just turning over. He's by the third shiur, right? It's half of the thing. That perception of life, of what amelus means, that we're so far from that, of what amelus means. If you have Shabbos, then Shabbos, adarava. Then it should be Shabbos, Dick. But then you can see right away what's the difference between that Jew who received the Torah on Shabbos and the guy who received the Torah on Tuesday or Wednesday. Receiving the Torah on Shabbos means the recognition that if I have time, it's not because there's a pause or there's a stop or there's a break. It's because the Baruch Shalom and his love for us has given us a pause from the 6 days of the week so that I could really move, so that I could really work. This is the real work, a Tosfos. This is my real work. A piece of Kedushas Levi, whatever you like, but this is my real work. During the week when I have to make a living, it's a klala. But this is my real work. This is what I really do. It's a difference in a whole mindset of how you look at life. Of what your amelus is. Of what your hashlom is. Back upstairs, the last two lines there. V'imshu yoytzel apoyel nisha oy tamid bekoyach. Man remains perpetually in the state of bekoyach. He's always in the state of bekoyach. It is never going to reach, as long as you're in the physical body. You cannot reach that madrega of a poil. Shemahaya nimsa shlemusa b'poil la haya nikra ze amal. It wouldn't be considered amal. Amelus means moving towards. Kiloshan amal ba'al dava she'en la hanacha. Amal means it doesn't rest. Amal means it's constantly, it's laboring, moving. V'yovel tachlis hanacha. It's not sitting still. V'chein ha'odam kol zman ha'yoyse mechuba machayim. As long as man is still attached to the physical body, enim b'shleimus b'poil, you can't say that it's time to rest. There is no time to rest. If you're still in this world, that means you can't rest. Adash unifred menachayim, until the time comes, like the taxi driver said, where you have plenty of time to sleep. V'az nimse b'poil, it's because your neshama is able to already come to a place to be in a madrega of b'poil. Therefore, let's just finish quickly, footnote 54. Inyan zemuvur heitiv behespin. He says, the Maral said in the hespin, l'nechshav amisa p'chisus l'tzadik. When the tzadik dies, it's not, death for the tzadik is not considered to be a tragedy. For us, it's a tragedy. For the tzadik, it's not a tragedy. Av'nechshav l'tzadik aliyah kasher tzadik nilkach l'mal. When the tzadik leaves this world, he's able to be free of the constraints of physical life. Vafki Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Afka Shahayi Bechaim Hayi Medaber Meshchin. That's what we were talking about before. Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu conversed with the Shechinah while being in this physical world. Mekomakom Lahayi Mechitzel Yonis Lagami. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was in this physical world, a much more sublime reality. But he was in this world. Vein Megiyah Adam Ladova Zerakash and Nilkach Menayil Lamazad. The only time you can reach that Madrega is when you leave this world. The tzaddik wants to be in the yeshiva shalmal. There's nothing greater than the tzaddik being in that place, in that realm that's called the yeshiva shalmal. That's what Rabbi Nachman Breslover has, and it's in Lekutei Moran. Rabbi Nachman speaks about the Indian of Eliyahu Hanavi granting Elisha pishnayim. You remember that Elisha was terrified. What's going to be after the Rebbe, after Eliyahu Hanavi leaves the world? So the Eliyahu Navi promised him pishnaim beruachacha, right? He gave him pishnaim, double the ruach, double. So Rabbi Nachman has a whole unbelievable Torah there to explain that after the tzaddik dies, he can give even more Torah than when he's alive. After the tzaddik dies, he can have more of hashpah than when he's alive. And it's funny you say, because Rabbi Nachman taught that. When Rabbi Nachman's lifetime, how many chassidim do you think Rabbi Nachman? Ooh, huh? Shalom aleichem, Aris, how are you? In Rabbi Nachman's lifetime, how many? You didn't tell
him. I didn't want to disturb
you. What do you mean? In Rabbi Nachman's lifetime, how many chassidim did Rabbi Nachman have? You know, you read the books, you think that Rabbi Nachman sphering thousands of chassidim, maybe 120. Kulei hai. You read these names, was Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. Look at the hashpah. Even from the tzaddikim, we see that even Bechlal, you see in the world.
The
look at the P.S.S. and the Eish Kodesh. Even though there was an Eish Kodesh when he was alive, but it was one of many Polish chassidus that there was at that time. Although he was seen as being a mechanech in a very extraordinary way, but the hashpah. And it's not enough just to say, well, because they didn't have internet back then, how many people could possess and they reached in Warsaw, a little bit the shtetlach around Warsaw, how many Jews could you reach? It's not that. It's after the tzaddik leaves this world, he's no longer constrained by this world. And therefore his Torah, his ruach, his hashpah, it expands. It's an amazing thing. The morale! What was the morale? The morale was the Rav and Echanami. And the morale's strength as a Rav is well known, that the emperors came crawling and came kissing his feet. In terms of his machshava, what was the morale's hashpah in machshava until many centuries later? Where was the morale's hashpah? Where? What? In his lifetime? You think that they were sitting around the table learning Tiferes Yisrael? Or shortly after his lifetime? It wasn't published yet, but you think they were sitting learning? No. It was many years later they start to blow off the dust, and then now the morale gives life to the whole world. Because the stalkus of the tzaddik is davka pishnai beruchacha comes after the stalkus, because then the chaymer is not holding him back. In this world, the tzaddik holds him, is held back. He can't give you all that he's got, the tzaddik. After he leaves the world, the tzaddik can mamish let loose. And that we see this be'ineinu, maybe tzaddik ro, and the Baal Shem HaKadosh. Also, what was the Gro in his life? It was a small circle of Talmidim. The Gro, who was allowed into his room, Bichlal? Now, twerps like us, we could buy all the things in the Gro and talk in and hand. Read the Jews in Vilna had a shaykhus to the Gro. They passed by the room. They trembled and they ran. What shaykhus they have the Gro? You think the Gro darshened in Vilna? The Gro darshened. We don't understand Bichlal. It's after the Histalkus. Pishnayim. Double. We should be zoichim, Mr. Shem. Shabbos, I'm going to talk about this, Mr. Shabbos. The whole inyan of Shabbos is double. Shama v'zocher, right? The whole inyan of Shabbos is davkin, is why? Because every Shabbos, the person experiences, on some level, his body's death. There's a histalkus. Every Shabbos, there's an aliyas neshama. Really. The body dies on Shabbos. And it means that every Jew has a neshama yisera, pishnayim beruchacha, right? Pishnayim on Shabbos, to have hasagas that you can't have during the week. Now, isn't it a shame to use that for a newspaper? It's a shame. For another piece of kugel, how much kugel can you eat? That's the pishnayim we should use. We should be zarecha to use it in a good way. Shkai.